Exodus 15, from verse 22 to verse 27. The Israelites now leave the Red Sea, and they enter the desert of Shur. And for 3 days, they travel in the desert and find no water. And then they come to Marah, and they do find water there, but they can't drink it because it's bitter. And so they grumble against Moses, "Whatever are we going to drink here? There was no water in the desert of Shur. We found some, and now we can't drink that." And Moses cries out to the Lord, and God shows him a piece of wood, and he throws it into the water, and the water became sweet. There was no intrinsic power in the wood. It was a miracle. And then God gave instructions and a law to Israel, and he laid down a principle. There the law made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Exodus 15, 22 to 27. Well, one thing we can say about this, Israel, the Hebrews, were passing through a variety of experiences. They've come from the triumph of the Red Sea, the destruction, the end of their enemies, the Egyptians. They pass through the triumph of Marah, the bitter waters made sweet. And they come to the resting calm of Elim. 12 springs, 70 palm trees, the oasis there. But you can look at it another way. It is a record of one triumph after another, but it's it's also one trial after another, is it not? Look at the trial at the Red Sea, the fears they had with the Egyptians going to massacre them. And then they come to the desert and there's no water. What a trial that was. But that trial comes to an end, but is replaced by another one, which may be even worse because the water they find is bitter. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And then they have to travel on again. So it's one victory after another, but is also one trial after another. And this is their experience, and God gives them a law, a decree. He tests them through all this. These are testing, trialing times. Sometimes success, sometimes suffering. But God is teaching these people, "Listen carefully to me, walk in my ways, and I will bless you." And he makes tremendous promises to them. Think of poor old Moses here. He has his own trials, of course, because he's passing through the desert too. He's a natural man. He's a human being. He feels. He's thirsty. And the water is bitter for him too. But he has the grumblings of the Israelites to contend with. And he also has his own responsibilities over them. But God brings him through and gives him his word and his comfort. Now, this is Old Covenant, of course, as I've said. But there are certain principles come over here. I read in Hebrews 12, for example, that God chastens everyone he receives as sons, that he disciplines us. I read of the trial of our faith. I read of the fiery trial, the difficulties, which don't seem pleasant at the time. Of course they don't. But God is teaching us and leading us. There's a hymn writer who says, "I fear more being becalmed when nothing has happened. I'd rather have a tempest than just being becalmed. There's more danger in being in the doldrums and nothing happening." At least the Hebrews are having experience after experience. triumph, victory, overcoming their enemies, answers to prayer, God leading them. But they come to all that through difficult trials and sufferings and afflictions. Brother and sister, we meet something similar in our own affairs. God leads us. He blesses us, but he blesses us through trial. And I speak to myself and I challenge myself. I want to learn in difficult days, difficult nights, in trial and tribulation and testing times, to look through the storm, to look through the fire and see the blessing that will come. I want to listen to God. I don't look for prosperity gospel. This is old covenant. But nevertheless, God promises to me and to you, brother and sister, most wonderfully, that he will bring us through. He will keep us. He will make a way of escape. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. The way of escape is spoken of there, 1 Corinthians 10:13. And that chapter is full of Israel's grumblings and failures. And yet God makes the way of escape. And let us learn from that, brother and sister. Have we not proved it in the past? Each sweet Ebenezer we have in review confirms his good pleasure to see us right through. Are you going through difficulty at the moment? Am I? What are you going to do about it? Grumble against God? Or seek to keep walking in his way, looking to him to help you, trusting that the way of escape will come, and that the Lord will heal, and the Lord will bless, and the days of rest and peace will come again. Yes, Israel moved from the Red Sea to Elim, and so do we. And we're on a pilgrimage, brother and sister. Let us look to the end of our pilgrimage, that glorious coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the everlasting glory, the new heavens and the new earth. There be no sorrow, no tears, no sighing there. No regrets there, no sin, no failure. All then will be right. May we not be like the Hebrews and grumble. May we be believing, trusting, and obeying. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And not only in the sunny days, but in the winter bleakness too. So whatever experience we have today, brother, sister, may we go on looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May we learn from the experience of the Hebrews as they travel from the Red Sea to Elim. May we not make their mistakes, but may we go on looking unto Jesus, being obedient to him in all the changing scenes of life.